Telemundo Radio, ¿qué tal? Telemundo Radio. Wait, the talk's in English? All right, no, that's fine. We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Hi, welcome back to .NET Conf. My name is Zach Hall, and I'm a principal consultant with Neudesic. We're a top Microsoft partner. Like many of you, I'm a web developer. I help Microsoft run some of their websites, ASP.NET and IIS.NET. For a long time, these websites lived on physical servers. Until one day when Microsoft came to us and said, hey, we want to be up in Azure. You know, that was a pretty daunting task considering the complexity of the legacy environment we inherited. But once we got into it, we found out that it was pretty easy to move up in Azure. So that's what I'd like to share with you today, our story about moving the Microsoft community sites, ASP.NET and IIS.NET, up into Microsoft Azure. So first off, why do we want to move up in Azure? The basic premise of virtualizing any environment is to reduce total cost of ownership. Total cost of ownership is an accounting principle used to help decision makers determine the direct effect or cost of a system or service. There are a lot of things that go into the TCO of an enterprise-level website, things such as software and hardware, the installation for that software and hardware, maintenance of it, also the licenses and warranties associated with it. Then you have the operations of it, the infrastructure, electricity, not just for the servers, but also for cooling, backup systems, IT staffing. You also have long-term costs, such as replacement, upgrades, scaling, and decommissioning servers. By virtualizing your environment, you're able to reduce deployment time when adding new hardware to your farm, reduce outages due to hardware failures, and also reduce the cost of hosting by being able to scale servers either up or out. So these are the websites that we run for Microsoft, ASP.NET and IIS.NET. Hopefully, you guys are watching this, you've seen these sites before. You'll notice that, well, we've got three major websites, the content site, the forum site, and the blogging site. And underneath those, we have a bunch of sub-sites that support all of those. Now, these are the sites that our users come to either learn more about or get their questions answered on one of these technologies. Last year in 2014, ASP.NET had over 160 million unique page views, and IIS had about half that traffic. So pretty good traffic between those sites. And this was our physical infrastructure. As you can see, we had three major server farms, all grouped by business needs, and one farm for our database servers. All of our requests came in through physical routing switches and then went to another set of servers that housed application request routing servers. Those requests went through there and eventually made their way to the correct server in our farm. Now, from this diagram, everything looks pretty good, but unfortunately it wasn't. The first thing you have to understand about this environment was that it was created by the Microsoft engineers that pioneered these technologies. They created them to showcase the things that they were working on so they could have more exposure out to the public. As the technology was built out, so was the physical environment. Over time, software platforms evolved, new features came online, and hardware platforms evolved. But as new servers were brought into the farm for the environment, they weren't always brought up to speed and up to level with the other servers. That made everything pretty complex. We ran into a situation where different servers were running different sites using different operating systems on top of different hardware. Oh. All right. So, as you can see, we had a pretty complex environment. Our challenge was, well, how do we get this up in the cloud for Microsoft? And these were the steps that we used going through our migration. First one was analysis and design, followed by environment setup. Optimizations and testing came next. And finally, operation and management was the continuing to service the websites once they were created. So for the analysis and design, the very beginning of it, we had to ask ourselves a couple different questions. One, how are we going to host our websites? And two, how are we going to host our data? The first thing in the analysis and design phase is we had to take a look again at our environment, really identify all of the complexities, and see what the shortest path was to fit all of that into Azure. So our first question was, how do we serve our websites? Well, due to the complexities of our environment, I mean, we had websites dependent upon other websites running, you know, dependent upon web services, dependent upon Windows services, even dependent upon DFS replication between different servers in the farm. We knew that trying to re-architect and refactor everything to get our code base into Azure websites utilizing web jobs and cloud services was going to take too long to meet the timeline that Microsoft had required of us. So virtual machines became our best choice. The problem with virtual machines, though, is that you do still need to maintain the virtual machines. You become responsible for all of the maintenance, patching, and configuration of the operating system and any other software that lives on the VM. This slide helps to show that. It compares and contrasts VMs, also known as infrastructure as a service, with Azure websites, platform as a service, and also shows on-premise, which would be a physical environment, and compares it as well to software as a service. You know, VMs allow you not to have to worry about the physical hardware or networking constraints that you normally face in a physical environment. But like I said earlier, you know, they still require you to complete those normal weekly and monthly maintenance exercises, such as patching and updating. So once we had chosen VMs to host our websites off of, the next question we had to figure out was, how are we going to host our data? We had three options. One, we could have used an on-premise solution utilizing a VPN tunnel from our Azure environment down to a physical SQL server. Two, we could have used Azure SQL. Or three, we could have run SQL Server on a VM in the cloud. So the first problem with the VPN solution was the VPN creates a single point of failure. And we also knew there would be network latency involved for all of the requests. We knew there were high-cost ways to get around these points, but since we were concerned about saving time and resources, we chose to explore some other options. We took a look at SQL Azure, and at the time, SQL Azure databases only had a subset of functionality of SQL Server. And certain things wouldn't port directly from SQL Server into SQL Azure, things like distributed transactions and also SQL jobs. Rather than spending a lot of time refactoring the existing architecture that spanned multiple tiers, we chose to run SQL Server off of a VM because we knew everything would directly port up into it. Now, we had our concerns at first regarding the performance of SQL Server on a VM, but once we entered our load testing and performance testing stage, we found that all of our metrics were as good, if not better, than our physical environment. And we were also able to run, we were also running our SQL Server VMs on a smaller hardware footprint than our physical servers. So after making those two design decisions, this is the infrastructure that we came up with. We utilize a virtual network to provide an extra layer of security for our environment. The virtual network allows all of the virtual machines inside of it to be able to discover and talk to each other without having to go over the public internet. We use Azure Load Balancer as a single entry point for all requests into our site. As the requests come in, the load balancer funnels them to one of two VMs that run application request routing. Those two VMs then route the requests to the rest of the farm. Now, all of our mission critical virtual machines that are identical in purpose are placed into availability sets. Availability sets guarantees that one VM in the set is going to stay up during planned or unplanned Azure maintenance. And using availability sets is also a requirement for Azure's SLA of maintaining a 99.5% uptime. The virtual machine sizes that we chose are shown here. We use standard tier VMs, A1 for our ARR boxes, A3 for IIS and utility, A4 for ASP and databases. During the analysis phase of this migration, we took a look at not only our server resource utilization, but the actual app pool resource utilization. We knew that there was an opportunity to take sites and consolidate them onto the servers in order to simplify our environment, but still maintain the same level of performance. Some of the VMs that we ended up going with, like the A4, had a bigger hardware footprint than our physical servers, but the cost was acceptable. So after we had planned out our infrastructure and we knew the size of the VMs that we wanted, the next step was setting our migration timeline. We started off by doing infrastructure setup, which took approximately a week and a half. Then website and database setup, which was about 2.5 weeks. And finally, performance, load, and user acceptance testing. And after all that was complete, we set a date to go live. So we'll talk about that a little more in depth. For our infrastructure setup, we relied heavily on a third-party hosting company called OrcsWeb. OrcsWeb had been managing our physical environment for us for years. We were really very pleased with all the work that we had done with them, and we wanted to continue working with them going forward. So we gave them all the design requirements and the planning that we had put together, and they began creating the infrastructure that we use today. They started off with a stock virtual hard disk using Windows 2012, then customized it, adding some of their proprietary software for monitoring and also some other customizations. After that was complete, they created the virtual network and then created each virtual machine off of the virtual hard drive that they had used. Then we took all virtual machines that were related and put them into availability sets as needed. So once the infrastructure was set up, we had to go through and perform configuration and also migrate all of the code and data. For ARR servers, that meant installing the URL rewrite module in addition to the ARR module. For our web servers, we had to move up the source code and reconfigure it to make sure that everything was correctly pointing at the new endpoints that we had set up. We also went through and redid the server configuration, such as the IIS setup, site setup, application pool settings, file permissions, and installed SSL certs. We also used DFS to replicate content of folders between different VMs in our environment to make sure that everything was similar to how we had it on our physical servers. For the database servers, we added a couple extra virtual hard drives, one for the data files and one for the log files. We did this for performance reasons, very similar to how you would set up a normal physical database server. Once the virtual hard disks had been installed, we moved the databases up into Azure, restored them into the SQL Server instances, went through and set up all the configuration required, such as user logins and user accounts, and performed some other configurations, such as opening of specific ports. Once we had the environment up, we began our performance load testing and user acceptance testing. For performance testing, our main metric was initial page load time. The metric we were trying to hit was a 2-second page load time for every page on the site. We hit that just like we knew we would because our physical environment was already running to that capacity. For load testing, we used a third-party tool called LoadStorm. During the analysis phase, we found the max number of concurrent users for our sites and then tested a level 5 times that. After the testing, when all the sites stayed up and no errors were returned, we knew that we were in a very good shape as far as the VM sizes. We would also have the opportunity to grow on those VMs as well. Next, we did user acceptance testing with Microsoft content authors and forums moderators just to make sure that everything was good and they were happy with the way the environment was functioning. So once all of that was completed, once all the users had signed off on user acceptance testing, we put together a plan for the final cutover. And we chose a date. Prior to that date, we initiated a code freeze. Then we made sure that all source code was synced up between our physical environment and the live environment. Then on the morning of the day, we chose to go live with the environment. We took all of our physical databases and set them to read only. Now, since our websites are there to help users find answers to their questions and also learn about the new technologies, they were able to run and continue to handle user requests in a read-only mode. After the physical databases were set to read-only, we took backups of them, then moved the backups into Azure, restored the databases, did some sanity testing, and once everything looked like it was good, we initiated a DNS cutover, basically taking the IP address from our physical environment and having the domains point at the new IP address in our Azure environment. At that point, the sites were live. Everything was good to go. We were happy with it. But then we still had to think about operations and management. How would we continue to run the sites? Well, OrcsWeb continues to service our VMs, applying weekly service patches, handling normal operating system maintenance, and still providing 24-hour monitoring and support for the websites. We also use Azure Backup to maintain backups, not only of the data and the databases that we have, but also the entire VM image that we use for every VM in our environment. This allows us to quickly recover from any data center-wide disaster. And Azure Backup is really great because it secures your data over the wire and at rest, and it geo-replicates your data for you, the backups it takes, in two different data centers using 6 different copies. Azure Backup also maintains a 99.9% service availability uptime. So some of the benefits that we saw from this migration, well, we were able to reduce the monthly hosting cost by 45%, and we reduced the number of servers down from 17 to 10. Now, this is a huge reduction in total cost of ownership for us. Not just because of the monthly hosting bill, but because this drastically simplified our production environment. This made troubleshooting, deployments, pretty much everything easier for us as developers. That was the main win for us when going to Azure. So where are we now? Well, it's been about a year and a half since we made the initial move up into Azure, and some things have changed. We started to take some of our websites that run off of our VMs and migrate them over to Azure websites. We replatformed the blogging site for ASP.NET, weblogs.asp.net, to use Orchard CMS software. In going to an Orchard solution, we were able to work with the Sebastian Rios. I actually met him in person once. Due to the size of weblogs, we actually split that up between 4 instances. All requests still continue to come in through our Azure Load Balancer, then go through our ARR VMs and arrive at the correct Azure website. And as you can see here, they're also making use of Azure Cache, SQL Azure Databases, and Azure Storage. We also recently absorbed the Microsoft hosting website. Since that site was self-contained and didn't have any of the constraints that our existing sites had, we were easily able to put it into Azure websites and also use SQL Azure for the database. It follows the same kind of pattern as weblogs. requests come in through the load balancer, go into ARR, and ARR routes it out to the correct Azure website instance. So where are we going? Well, we want to continue decoupling the sites and databases that we have in order to migrate them over to SQL Azure websites. Azure websites and SQL Azure. This is going to help us continue to reduce our total cost of ownership and also help us with geo-redundancy. We plan on branching out to other data centers in order to maintain uptime. So all this happened a long time ago, back in 2013, so it's been about a year and a half now, so what's better? Well, there are a lot of better offerings for us now in Azure as developers. First off, the documentation has improved significantly. If you took a look at Azure a long time ago and you haven't revisited it, I'd highly recommend checking out the website, azure.microsoft.com. Great information up there. But there's also been a lot of improvements with VM size offerings, VM images, and also some cool tools that have helped us automate things that we normally do in Azure. So new VM sizes, when we initially started this, there were about only 5 options for your hardware footprint in Azure. Now there are 6 different tiers, and each tier has multiple offerings within it. The first tier is the basic tier. That's an economical option for all dev and test workloads. The next tier is the standard tier, and that's the recommended option for all production workloads. We use the standard tier. We use A1 VMs again for ARR, A3 for IIS web servers and also our utility server, and finally A4 for our ASP.NET web servers and our databases. Beyond that, there are 4 other tiers: optimized compute, performance optimized compute, network optimized, and compute intensive. All these sizes, as you go up the tiers, the hardware footprint increases. But for the websites that we run, it was just more than we needed at the time. If you're interested in it, I would highly recommend going out to the website, azure.microsoft.com, and check it out. So the next great thing about Azure is there are over 490 VM images that you can use to start up now. I think when we started this, there were probably about 5. There was a Windows 2008 was still a viable platform back then. There was a 2012 image and a couple others. Now, last time I checked, there were 492 images. You can find images for everything from SQL Server, SharePoint, Oracle databases, Oracle WebLogic, Linux distributions such as Ubuntu and SUSE, community-driven solutions like Chef, Puppet, and Docker. The last thing that I wanted to talk about today with regards to new offerings in Azure is the Azure XSplat CLI, which is short for Cross-Platform Command Line Interface. Here's a great picture of it right here. You can see some really cool ASCII art. The great thing I love about this tool is it's simple and it's easy to use. It just works. What does it do for you? Well, it helps you to automate all of your normal routine tasks, such as performing maintenance on your VMs or websites. You can even use it to script out deployments and also teardowns. Now, Azure PowerShell also has the same functionality. However, I just prefer XSplat CLI. I feel like it's easier to use. And it also works cross-platform. It's written in Node.js, so it will run on everything from Linux to Mac, and obviously on Windows. So that's about it. Final thoughts. Moving to Azure was pretty complicated for us initially, but once we made the initial move, we were very happy that we did. We've seen great uptime with it. We had really good usage of really good experience with the VMs. And I would definitely encourage you to check it out. All right, looks like we have a couple of questions here. Matthew S. says, obviously they weren't available at the time, but are there plans to get ASP.NET up and running on the Azure websites? Yeah, there are. And that's one of the things we're working on. Again, due to the complexities of our environment, going directly to Azure websites for every site just wasn't an option at the time. But this is something that myself and my team are working on right now to refactor out and simplify our environment so that we can get to Azure websites. Again, Azure websites do have more benefits than VMs simply because you reduce your total cost of ownership by having to be responsible for less things. Let me go back a couple slides here and cover this point a little more in depth. All right, there we are. So you can see here with virtual machines, you no longer have to worry about the hardware or the network that your virtual machines run on, but you still have to take care of the operating system. With platform as a service or Azure websites, Microsoft handles all of that for you. So another question, Jeff asks, how much data do you send in and out from the websites? You know, I don't actually have that number, Jeff. As far as bandwidth usage, it's significant, but we do make heavy use of caching, not just with HTTP cache, but we also use Akamai CDN to host all of our static resources, such as images, JavaScript files, CSS, etc. So, wow. Well, that went really quick. So again, this is our environment. And like I said, we're slowly trying to split off from VMs, go back over to Azure websites. Jeff wants to know how many VMs are there total, and also how many regions. Great question, Jeff. Thanks. So right now we're operating out of one region, that's US East, and we have about 10 VMs in total. As you can see right here, we use in our availability sets for ARR, we have two. Also for ASP and IIS, we have two VMs. That's kind of cool if you think about that we're able to handle 160 million requests, unique requests per year off of two machines. Then we have our databases and our utility server. I think one thing I forgot to mention was our databases are not set up in availability groups. The reason for that is cost and licensing. We made the decision to not do that because if the databases were able to go down for a little bit, that was acceptable to the business rather than incurring the TCO of having to stand up additional servers, handle the data replication, and also continue to manage those new VMs. If you guys have any questions for me at this time, please feel free to ask them over through the portal. All right, couple more questions coming in. What do you guys do with your logs? Do you do performance analytics on them? Yes, we are, and we're also, we do a lot with our logs. We definitely take a look at all of the HTTP requests, see where they're coming from, and ensure that there aren't any errors being generated from our sites that we're not catching on a regular basis. All right, so Greg says, explain your ASP.NET availability set versus your IIS availability set. What's the difference? Well, Greg, the difference is that the IIS availability set only serves, it's only comprised of the virtual machines that serve the IIS.NET sites. So that's www.iis.net, forums.iis.net, and blogs.iis.net. We have two virtual machines in there to make sure that our sites are redundant, and they're in an availability set to make sure that one virtual machine is always up. The difference between the IIS availability set and the ASP availability set is that the virtual machines in the ASP availability set serve all of the ASP.NET websites. David asks, how big do the app pools get, and do you recycle them on specific times or intervals? The app pools vary per site. So for ASP.NET, our main content site runs off of Umbraco CMS. That's actually a very lightweight, that leaves a very lightweight footprint. And the big one though in ASP.NET is our forums site. Forums uses, probably around 4 gigabits of memory. Not super big, but when you consider that in ASP we're hosting the content site off of Umbraco CMS, forums site, which is a custom MVC solution, the blogging site, well, we were hosting the blogging site, that's no longer on there. Login sites and a couple other supporting sites, memory contention, everything starts to get pretty tight. How long was the entire migration? Well, we began the analysis phase in August, and on the timeline that I showed, once we determined exactly what we needed, the actual migration only took about 6 weeks. So it was pretty fast for us. A lot of this was due to the fact that, you know, we went through and tried to simplify our environment down as much as we could before we made the move. All right, lacking full text indexing, are you also using Azure Surf Service? If not, what did you learn from it? So Jose is asking about full text indexing. We actually do that on our utility server for our forums websites. We run a Lucene index, and that indexes all of our content. We haven't, like I said, our main concern in moving up to Azure was just to get in the cloud as soon as possible. So we didn't have time to re-architect and take advantage of a lot of the new functionality that's available to us. Is Azure ready for you to ditch your own AR VMs? That's a great question, Chris. Unfortunately, not yet. The reason we're using AR is primarily to meet business needs and requirements. We have a lot of complex URL rewriting that goes on, and every time we've done a content switch or redesigned one of the websites, we added rewrite rules in place to maintain search engine paths for old content. So that's the reason we're still using AR. We also use that for proxying, though, for the weblogs instances. But we are looking at ways to get off of that. All right, Keith says, how do you guys figure out total cost savings from the migration? Well, it's evident in our hosting bill, Keith. We were able to cut that by 45%. And going down in the number of servers from 70 to 10, I think you can definitely correlate a direct reduction in cost between reducing the number of servers. Like I said, as a developer who works on these sites, I know everything that I've had to do in my day-to-day is a lot easier, simply because if a server goes down in the farm, there's less VMs to check on, deployments are quicker, you have less VMs to deploy to. Overall, everything's gotten a lot easier by moving up to Azure. So Jeff asks, do the sites use any Signal R in them? No, not yet. We haven't had any feature requests to move Signal R into them. We're looking at some functionality that may require it, and that may be something we do in the future. So what are your plans for moving to ASP.NET 5? Well, like I said earlier, these websites have always been the showcase for Microsoft to basically run and prove their platforms. So we are planning on moving to ASP5 once it's released, and we'll begin doing that site by site. What would you do differently if you were to do the migration again? That's a great question. Ask for more time, I guess, to do it in. No, honestly, you know, I was very happy with the way everything went. We had stringent requirements on time, and we wanted to keep our costs low. So VMs became the optimal choice for us because they were the shortest path solution. Like I said before, due to our environmental complexities, we weren't able to easily split everything out into Azure websites without doing major refactoring work and re-architecting the environment on multiple tiers. All right, so I think that's about all the questions we have. I appreciate your time today. Once again, my name is Zach, and thank you for your time today. Have a great day.